Imagine a young, promising professional athlete whose entire environment is designed for his success. He trains in a world-class facility. He's surrounded by coaches, nutritionists, medical staff, managers, everybody devoted to help him to maximize his potential. Injuries are treated immediately. Weaknesses are addressed. Strengths refined. Sponsors provide elite equipment and financial security. And of course, there are the fans that applaud every achievement. The system is designed so that his goals can be met at every level. He is carried around by a structure that aims at his advancement. Now, in Western society and Western countries, something similar to that can be observed. For those who hold a secular worldview, schools, media, entertainment, workplaces, even government policies assume a life without God. Living without God is the default. That wider culture not only affirms but supports. But when it comes to the Christian and living the Christian life, the experience is so different. Submission to Christ, faith in God, commitment to His Word is often not celebrated by our culture. It can bring about misunderstandings, marginalization, or even quiet social cost. From a human perspective, it can seem like believers are really training with a current against them rather than for them. This context is something that the New Testament anticipates. Christians are sojourners. They are exiles living in a world that is not their own, on their way to a world that they will inherit. We live in a society that is naturally not supportive of our faith. And I don't know if that is what you're experiencing. There is spiritual opposition. Plus, there is the evil one that goes out of his way to shipwreck and derail our faith. Further, trials and temptations that are so much part of life makes perseverance in the faith hard. Yet, God calls his people to reverent fear, to spiritual growth, to endurance in suffering, and lives marked by holiness and love. The question is, in a country like Australia, where the Christian population has declined from 86% in 1971, 50 years later, in 2021, to a mere 41%. And that may even be quite optimistic. And in a country where possibly for every one person who turns to Christianity, there are three that turns away from Christianity. How will your Christian life remain strong and be sustainable? The Apostle Peter, who was tasked by the Lord Jesus himself to feed his sheep and to take care of his people, writes in his first letter that if we are going to grow in the faith, we need to desire God's word like babies desire milk. Have a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. Now, if you know anything about babies, you know the importance of milk when it comes to babies, especially in those fragile first number of weeks in their lives. Milk is not a supplement to babies. It is everything to them. And nobody knows that better than a mother, right? The baby doesn't reason about milk. It doesn't schedule it. It doesn't treat it as optional. When it is hungry, it cries with urgency because its very growth, strength, and survival depends on it. Milk nourishes that tiny body. It strengthens the immune system. It fuels its growth. And steadily, it changes weakness into vitality. Without milk, the infant will not be healthy and will not grow properly. Young fathers discover this fact very early on, don't they? When their baby cries, it usually means one of three things, right? Either it's a dirty nappy, or the baby is tired, or the baby needs milk. I remember that when one of our children was a baby, I'm not going to tell you which one, he loved his milk so much that on his first birthday, we baked him a bottle cake because it was quite clear what it was that he valued most. The Apostle Peter says, if there is one thing in which a Christian should be like a baby, then it is in the area of longing for pure spiritual milk. Pure spiritual milk. Just like babies instinctively crave milk to sustain their bodies, believers should desire nourishment that strengthens their faith. What is this milk that Christians are called to long for? Peter calls it the pure spiritual milk. The New King James and the New American Standard Bible takes a more literal and probably a more accurate translation by saying it is the pure milk of the Word. The pure milk of the Word. This milk is the Word of God. After all, it is through the Word of God that believers are born again. As Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 to 25, saying, believers are born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. The Word of the Lord remains forever, and the Word is the good news that was preached to you. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the living and abiding Word of God, is the way through which spiritual life comes into being for a believer. As the Holy Spirit applies the gospel to our hearts, transforming us and creating us into new living creatures, alive to God in Christ. It is no surprise then that the Word continues to nourish the believer after their spiritual birth. Just as milk sustains a baby, so Scripture sustains the Christian, growing us in the faith, in holiness, in perseverance, in love, and leading us safely to to our promised eternal inheritance. By God's word then, we grow up into salvation, as Peter says. If you're a Christian, God will grow you and He will change you into Christ-likeness, and He will complete the work of salvation that He has begun in your life. But this doesn't happen mystically. It doesn't happen magically. It will happen as you feed on God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to apply that Word in your life. Did you notice that the Word of God, which believers are called to desire, is described as pure spiritual milk? To understand this, it's helpful to look at the context. Peter is in this passage contrasting things that we should long for, the spiritual milk, with things that we should be putting away. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 together. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that you may grow up in salvation. You notice there in verse 1, a list of attitudes and actions to be discarded. First, there is malice, seeking to harm others. Deceit and hypocrisy, dealing with others with pretense and falseness. Add to that envy, coveting what belongs to others and is not ours, and slander, attacking the reputation of others. These sins are like old garments to the Christian. They destroy love, trust, and unity in the church, and they must be removed continually. Peter says, discard all of them. Paul agrees. He urges believers to put off what he says is the old self. The old self. The pre-Christian way of life. By contrast, the pure spiritual milk is exactly what we need to grow in the faith. God's word is spiritual. It is not carnal. It is truthful and life-giving rather than impure and destructive. It builds up relationships. It fosters love. And it causes us to grow in salvation. The contrast is vivid. Put away all malice and long for the pure Word of God. It is like milk versus a dirty nappy. Now, every mother knows exactly what to do. Is remove the impurity, that's the dirty nappy, and give the child nourishment, the milk. Sadly, many Christians get it the wrong way around. And maybe even some of us do. By tolerating malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, while neglecting the pure spiritual milk of God's Word. Peter's call is clear. Growth in Christ depends first on rejecting sin and then eagerly craving the Word. Just as a newborn, we will only thrive on the pure milk of God's Word. Do you long for the Word of God? As a newborn craves milk. Well, the Bible says you should. I should. Your spiritual life works the same way. Without feeding on the Scriptures, you cannot grow. The Holy Spirit doesn't work apart from the Word of God. The Christian life cannot be sustained without the Word of God. Let's take a moment to think about what the rest of Scripture says about why God's Word is vital for spiritual growth. God's Word leaves us in no doubt over how central the Word of God is in our lives and how vital it is to our spiritual well-being and our eternal well-being. Take, for example, the Lord Jesus who said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And for 40 days he was fasting. And then immediately Satan came around and he tempted Jesus. Firstly, with a very subtle but dangerous temptation. "If you are the Son of God," he said to him, "command those stones to become bread." On the surface, it seemed like a reasonable suggestion to Jesus. After all, Jesus was starving. But beneath the temptation lied the challenge. For Jesus to act independently from his heavenly Father, to doubt his heavenly Father's care, and to rely on self-sufficiency rather than trusting in his Father. Jesus' response to Satan reveals a very important truth about the place of the Word of God in our lives. He answers, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Quoting Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. And by doing this, Jesus shows that true life depends not merely on physical provision, but on receiving and living according to the Word of God. The nation of Israel had to learn this lesson for 40 years in the desert, when God fed them with manna, bread from heaven. He did so to teach them that they live from every word that comes from God who is in heaven. But Israel grumbled. But Jesus depended on God's word as his true source of strength. He even said, "My food is to do the will of my Father who is in heaven." In other words, obeying for Jesus the word of his Father was to him more important than his physical food. He literally lived from every word that proceeds from the mouth of his Father. The message is clear. Just as we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, as babies grow from milk, Christians need God's word to grow, to live. Physical hunger is hard. But spiritual hunger is more serious. When we feed on Scripture, we are strengthened to resist temptation. We are helped to obey God, to stay faithful to Him. True life, now and forever, comes from continually depending on the words of God. Our true spiritual milk. David also lived out this truth as a model of somebody who was craving God's word. David shows us what it looks like to hunger for God's word. He says in Psalm 119, verse 47, I find my delight in your commandments. And in verse 97, he adds, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. Oh, his longing was deep and constant for the word of God. He says in Psalm 119, verse 20, my soul is consumed by longing for your rules all the time. And in verse 131, I open my mouth and I pant because I long for your commandments. He treasured God's word more than wealth. In verse 72, he says, your law to me is better than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. And in verse 10 of chapter 19, Psalms, he says, they are to be more desired than gold, yes, than fine gold. God's word gave him joy, wisdom, guidance. In Psalm 119, verse 111, he says, they are the joy of my heart, and your commandments make me wiser than my teachers. And your word, and you will know this one, Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway. It kept him from sin and it revived him when he was weak. In verse 11 he says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. And in verse 25 he adds, oh, give me life according to your word. And in Psalm 19, verse 7, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving my soul. Like a baby depends on milk, David depended on the word of God. What about you? Through it, he tasted the goodness of the Lord, and he grew strong. Further, the Apostle Peter had a very mature conviction about the word of God. Peter once said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall I go? You have the words of eternal life. John 6, verse 68, acknowledging that true life comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, even though Peter knew Jesus personally, he was an eyewitness of everything that Jesus said and he did for 3 years. Later on, he wrote that in the Scriptures we have a more sure prophetic word in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Even though he had seen extraordinary things, like for example, the day when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain and Moses and Elijah met with Jesus, he directs believers to the Scriptures as a reliable guide, saying in it, you do well to pay attention to it, because the Word of God is like a lamp shining in a dark place. Peter learned that true life is found in Christ's words. He trusted them. He preached them. He suffered for them. Peter lived and preached what he truly believed, modeling a word-centered faith. Scripture also warns us of the danger of neglecting the word of God or half-keeping God's word and the spiritual ruin that it brings. Think of Adam and Eve, the classic example. They listened to the serpent instead of listening to the words of God. And what happened? Shame came in. Separation from God and death. We read about that in Genesis chapter 3. Think of the Israelites who doubted God's promises in the wilderness for 40 years. And what happened? They were barred from entering the promised land, except a select few who actually trusted in the Lord. Read about that in Numbers chapter 14. Oh, think of the days of the judges. A generation that forgot their God. And what happened? They descended into moral chaos. Everyone, we are told, did what was right in their own eyes. What a disaster. O King Saul, he selectively listened to the Lord, and what happened? He lost his whole kingdom. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Think of King Ahab and Jehoiakim, who rejected the word of the Lord. Jehoiakim even burnt the word of God. And for that, he faced judgment. And there was a time during the days of the prophet Amos that he said to the people, the day is coming that there is going to be a great famine among you. And the famine is not going to be a famine of food, but it will be a famine of the word of God. Amos chapter 8 verses 11 and 12. Because Israel despised the Lord when things were going well with them, the day came when they desperately searched to hear the word of God and they couldn't find it. Spiritual famine, dullness, confusion, and silence from heaven. We can learn from all these examples, and we should. To neglect God's word is to starve the soul. To crave it is to grow up in salvation. But we need to make some practical applications. The reality is that many professing Christians drift in their devotion to the Word of God, sometimes through neglect, sometimes through worldliness, sometimes just because their sin is getting the better of them. But Peter speaks plainly. Put away all malice and deceit and slander and hypocrisy. And like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in salvation. The Christian life is not sustainable without the Word of God. We're not going to get very far if we stand on yesterday's spiritual fumes. We have to live as exiles in a hostile world, engage in real spiritual battles against the flesh, the devil, and also the world. Trials can be relentless, temptations persistent, and our strength can be small. But we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Peter says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. Did you know that there were people who risked their lives and they even lost it so that the Bible could be made available in the English language for us? Think of John Wycliffe. He gave England the scriptures in their own language, and then he was condemned as a heretic and he was burnt. Think of William Tyndale. He vowed that every ploughboy should be able to read the Word of God. And he too was executed for making that possible. They believed that souls can only grow where the Word of God is opened. If they risked everything to bring us the Word of God, will we not hunger for the Word of God? Peter joins a hunger for the Word of God with a sweetness of knowing God Himself. Those who have been born again through the living and abiding Word of God have already tasted that the Lord is good. Have you not tasted that the Lord is good? Well, having tasted, they long for more. They long for more. A hunger for the word is evidence of spiritual life. It's not too hard to work that out. The word constantly presents to us the Lord of the word. It comes from Him, and it leads back to Him. We cannot separate a devotion from Christ from a devotion to hearing His voice. Like a professional athlete, the one that we spoke of right at the beginning, who has the ideal environment to help him to be successful. So the Lord, believe it or not, has given us the ideal environment to mature us in the faith and to complete our salvation. However, we're not going to find that environment in this world. We'd rather find opposition in the world. But we will find it in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God and amongst the people of God. If you have tasted that the Lord is good, keep returning to the Word of the Lord. Let us lay aside dull appetites. Let us come before the Lord humbly, honestly. Come hungry for the Word of God. In it, our Father speaks. In it, Christ meets us. In it, the Holy Spirit strengthens us. The Lord comforts, corrects, strengthens every heart that craves His Word. And He assures them that His inheritance for them is kept safe. If you have tasted His goodness, give yourself to the Word. It doesn't matter for how long we've been Christians. There is one way in which we need to remain as babies. And that is in the area of craving God's Word. Whether you've been a Christian for a long time or whether you're new to the faith, it's all the same. Now, if you have never tasted that the Lord is good, maybe that's true of you this morning. Well, you can taste that the Lord is good by coming to Christ by faith. And to listen to Him who is the living Word of God. And He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. The 19th century evangelist D.L. Moody famously said, the Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible. That's exactly what 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 to 3 is saying. And we can add, the Bible will help us to grow up into salvation. Why? Because Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Word of God is living, active, and powerful. Isaiah 55 verse 10, God's word will not return to Him void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which He has sent it. And Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8, the word of God stands forever. Well, may the Lord help us to crave the word of God.